Welcome to the Calvary Came Through broadcast from Chattanooga, Tennessee. We invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes to listen to a message from the Word of God by Evangelist Tracy Trivett. Join us now as we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and how Calvary can come through for you.
Hello and welcome again to the Calvary Came Through broadcast. This is Tracy Trivett, your host for this week. I want you to take your Bibles if you can, and I'm going to be in Joshua chapter number 24, a very, very familiar passage of Scripture, and two very, very familiar verses in Scripture that I want to look at today, beginning in verse 14. He says, "Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve Him in sincerity and all truth. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers that your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Today, speaking to you on this thought, it's time to choose. It's time to choose. Lord Jesus, I need you. I confess that I'm weak and that God, in many areas of my life, it is time to choose. And I, with no doubt, there's lives out there who they're coming to those crossroads, God, in their life, no matter what area it may be, and it's time to choose. God, may you guide us and direct us through your word to make the choices that you would have us to make. To make choices and live lives that would be pleasing and honorable to you. And may we be able to walk away today and say, "Lord, as for me, as for my house, I will serve the Lord." Well, thank you and praise you for all that you do. It's in your name we pray. Amen. You've heard the statement that life is full of choices. And I think we could all testify the fact that it is full of choices. Day in and day out, from the time you wake up in the morning to the time you lay your head down to sleep at night, it's choice after choice after choice after choice after choice. And so many of them are casual. I don't know about you, if you're a man and you're like me, you didn't think too much about what you was going to wear this morning when you rolled out of bed. You was more concerned about just making it to work than you were how pretty you was going to look when you got there. But choices that we can take so lightly, and then more serious choices. I think about some of the teenagers that I speak to sometimes. They're getting ready for college. The choice that they make next could be the choice that impacts the rest of their lives. And we face choices day in and day out, no matter how old you are, what state of life you're in, where you're in life. It doesn't matter. You're not obsolete or omitted from choices. Choices still have to be made in life. But the choices that we face in this world, they just shadow into the truths of the choices that we must make in the spiritual world, to the choices that we must make for our eternal lives, not our temporal lives down here, but the choices that we must make. There was a time in my life where I had to come to the place where I made a choice if I was going to accept Jesus or turn Him away one more time. Thanks be to God, on September 24th of 1994, I chose to take Him as my Savior and Lord. I trusted Him and His complete work, and that choice has affected my life ever since that day. Many days since then, as Paul said, I die daily. I've had to choose Him again. I've had to choose the old path and the right way one more time. I've had to choose it daily, day in and day out, every moment of my life. I've had to make that choice. I've had to make that decision. But I'm reminded that there's many people in our churches today, many people in the Christian faith today, who have never really made a choice. They've never really made the decision that they're going to go this way or that way. Sure, they're not going to hell. They're members of a good fundamental Bible-believing Baptist church. Oh, they've got Sunday school pins dragging their tracks out behind them. Oh, they're faithful. They look good. They smell good. They spit good. They're just perfect looking. But the truth is, they've never made the choice. They've never made a choice that I'm drawing the line here. I'm not going back. I'm not going back to the old land. I'm not going back to the old ways. Today I choose. And my challenge to you today, and what I pray the Word of God will reveal to you, is that today is the day of choice. Much as the Scripture said, today is the day of salvation. May I say, today is the day of choice. I don't know of a better day than this Saturday where we say, today, God, in here in my car, in here in my home, in this nursing home, God, in my hospital bed, I choose to follow you. So today, it is time to choose. I want you to notice three things. The choice that is fateful. The choice that is fateful. Joshua has just gotten through reminding these people, the children of God, what he has done for them. Not what Joshua has done. Joshua was a great leader and he was a faithful leader and he was a wonderful servant of God. But it wasn't Joshua's doings, it wasn't Joshua's leadership that made the difference. You look in battle, Joshua's sitting over there twiddling his thumbs and God's throwing stones down from heaven and taking care of business himself. But Joshua reminds the people one more time where God has brought them, what he's taken them from, where he's led them through, how he's defeated their enemies, how he's fed them daily, how he's led them and guided them through all their weaknesses, through all their circumstances. God has been faithful to them. Now the problem that he was facing in these two verses is there were some that had followed the traditions that were handed down from generation to generation to generation. They believed what they believed just because great-granddaddy did. And just because granddaddy did. And just because daddy did. That's why they believed what they believed. There were some that believed what they believed simply based on their surroundings. Just where they were. He said either the gods of your fathers that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. They had a problem with just picking something and running with it. They had a problem with just saying, well, yeah, okay, I believe that. I don't have any reason. I don't have any authority. I don't have any purpose. But sure, I'll take that. I'll buy that. Sound familiar? It reminds me of our day today, how any shiny thing, any shiny doctrine or truth that is thrown out there, we bite it hook, line, and sinker. And we say, sure, I'll buy that. But I'm reminded to you that there is only one true and faithful witness. And that as our Lord, there is only one truth, there is only one way, and it's still Jesus Christ. Last time I cracked my Bible, He is still the open door, He's still our scapegoat, He's still our only choice. And He's a choice that is faithful. Look at verse 14. He says, now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. He reminds them, as I just said, of what all that God has done. But he kind of gives them a blueprint of what this faithful choice is all about. To make a faithful choice, to follow a faithful God, there's some certain things about that choice of service that come into play. There's a certain way to go about this service in the army of the Lord. What are they? I believe there's three things. First of all, notice a service in fear. He tells them, God has done all this, He's done all that. And then in verse 14, he says, now, therefore, in other words, because God's done all these things, fear the Lord. Now this is not a shaking terror fear. This is a word that literally means reverence or respect. It's such a respect and such a high place. You're so humbled by it that you're almost afraid to approach this. You're almost afraid to go near this because there's such a reverence for it, such an honor for it. But I'm here to remind you that fear of the Lord is reverence, it is honor. But thanks be to God, we have access. We don't have to tremble in fear. But more or less, as the Scripture says, we can come boldly into the throne of grace. We can just jot in and say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. And just in this text, we're reminded that yes, we do have access. Yes, He is a good and loving God. But friends, He is a God who is worthy to be honored. He is a God who is worthy to be reverenced. And we need to fear Him in that reverence, that holy honor. One more time. In our pews and in our pulpits today, we lack this fear of the Lord. We lack a fear of God that says He is holy and I am not. We lack a fear of God that says He's righteous and I'm a sinner. We lack a reverence of God that at one time moved this country, literally moved the ground which we walked on to where men were changed simply by the fear of God. Where a doctrine of a holy God and a just God was preached and people would cling onto the back of their pews screaming out for mercy just at the reality of a God that was worthy to be honored. We miss revival and we talk about how can we get it? We need this and we need that. You track revival down and it always goes back to somebody somewhere getting back to the holiness and regaining a fear of God. It always goes back to somebody who had lost track. Somebody who had misplaced where their fear and where their reverence belonged, who gets back to the fact that He is holy and He deserves to be feared. Joshua reminds them that they should fear the Lord in their service. And may I say that we ought to do the same. We should reverence Him. Every step that I take should bring honor to a holy, righteous God. My life should honor Him and reverence Him in everything that I say and everything that I do. Not only a service in fear, but I want you to notice a service in sincerity. He says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity. That word sincerity there comes from a Greek word that means a Hebrew word that literally means it's so solid and it's so true. The goal that you're going after is something that is so settled and so real as if you can almost touch it. It's so real that you are totally consumed by the truth of that thing. It's a sincerity that says, I have no other goal. I have no other option. I have no other choice. I've got nothing else in my sight. All I can see is Him and His goal and His glory. Therefore, my service is generated as a sincere service. What comes out of me, I don't have to make it sincere. I don't have to prod it to be sincere. It's genuinely sincere simply because of who He is. And friend, I'm here to tell you, I'll be the first to admit that in my life and in my service, I got some areas that definitely are lacking in sincerity. My life doesn't always prove to be the sincere Christian that I often preach from a pulpit. My life doesn't always prove to be the sincere and honest and true witness that I often challenge others to be. But may I say that if we're going to make that choice that is faithful, a choice that is faithful to a faithful God, then friends, first, we must reverence Him one more time in our service. But we've got to do it in sincerity. The world doesn't want what we want because they don't see any sincerity in what we got. They don't believe us because our lives have said one thing and lived another thing. Therefore, we can't convince them to be sincere about Jesus when our lives are insincere in His service. And we need one more time desperately to get back to the sincerity and the sincere service. In this service of our Lord. Not only did He challenge them to have service in fear. And in service in sincerity. But service in truth. It's so simple. Look at it again. He says in sincerity. To serve Him in sincerity and in truth. This speaks of something that is faithful and established. There's no question. There's no doubt. There's no room for debate. No need for debate. It's settled. It's in stone. It is truth. It is infallible. No matter what the liberals say, it is an absolute truth. And it says that we should serve Him in truth. This stands out to me. I think about how the Scripture tells us that we should be ready in season and out of season to be instant to give an answer for what we believe. But so many people, they're not sure what they believe. They're much like the children of Israel in this time. They're much like what Joshua's trying to get across to make that choice. They're just not sure. They don't know why they believe what they believe. But friends, I believe that if the truth of the gospel is settled and steeled in our hearts, then we can serve Him in truth. To go on a battlefield like you know what you're talking about. Like you know what you're doing. I don't know about you, but if I was in battle and I seen an old Duncey Barney Fife looking fella come staggering up looking for his one bullet to shoot me, I wouldn't be too worried about it. But if I seen somebody coming up wielding their weapon like they knew what they were doing, wielding their weapon like they were on a mission, that it was settled what they had to do, that they knew how to do it, then friend, I would be worried. I'd be serious about what was happening. But in our world today, we're often going out like Barney Fife, searching for our one bullet of truth. Somebody says, why do you believe this? Why do you do that? Why do you do this? And we're looking around, searching, fumbling, to try to bring out some type of truth that maybe they'll believe, maybe they'll listen this time. The gospel truth is not something that needs explaining. The gospel truth is not something that needs debating. Service in truth is to go out with your head held high, knowing you're under the banner of the truth of Jesus Christ, because He said, I am the truth. Amen. We don't have to argue, debate it, or try to prove it. Jesus said, all you got to do is lift me up. I'll take care of the rest of that. I'll draw all men unto me. Is the choice that you made a faithful choice to a faithful God? Have you decided that you will serve Him in reverence and in fear? Are you living a life and living a service in the Christian life that says, I do it with sincerity? The world around you looks at you and says, his heart is real. His service is real. It's genuine. I don't know what it is about him, but he seems sincere. She seems sincere. And a service in truth to where the world is afraid to challenge you. They're afraid to argue with you. I think about some of the debates I get in at work trying to prove my point. And I told a friend shortly after an argument I had with a guy about an absolute truth. I told him, I said, if I was holy as he is holy, and if I lived a life that is totally in accordance with his will, would I have had that argument? To be settled in the truth of Jesus Christ, the truth of the gospel, and to serve him based on that truth and nothing more. A choice that is faithful. Not only that, I want you to notice a choice that is final. Look at verse 15 again. Again, here's a charge to choose once and for all. Draw a line. Make it right now. No more going back. No more decisions. No more talking about it. No more debates. Let's just make a choice and go at this time. You see, service for Jesus Christ is not a part-time thing. You don't sign a contractual agreement that says, I agree to serve Jesus Christ for 3 months, and if at that time or any time before, if I don't decide I like it, then I have every right by my agreement that I can back out at any time. My friend, that ain't service. That's a joke. That ain't service. That's your crutch. He never said, you can take up your cross and follow me, and if you don't work out for you, then you can lay it down at any time in the journey, and I'll just let you slip on through. That's not what the Bible says. It says, get ready, hunker down, you're going to follow me. It's going to be a full-time thing. Paul, I think about Paul's writings, the torment and the anguish and the things that Paul faced, the things that were thrown at him. But it wasn't Paul that was facing them. It was not I, but Christ. And the choice that has to be made here is a choice that is final. It's a choice that says, I'm not going back. Notice what kind of choices he was facing here. The type of choices that he was encouraging them to make, and the choice that he was encouraging them to leave behind, first of all, was a choice of tradition. He said, whether the gods your father served, talking about the fathers that were on the other side of Egypt, before the flood, the fathers that were in the other time and another genre, this religion, this thing, this tradition that was passed on down and down and down and down to them. Now you say it's silly that they would believe just because their daddy believed or just because their mama believed. I hate to break it to you, but if you search the hearts of the normal pews in our Baptist churches or in any church for that matter today, I would almost promise you with a heavy heart that most of the people in our churches believe what they believe because it was something that was given to them not by Jesus, not by their faith, but through a family member, through a mama, through a daddy, through some type of tradition. And I believe that God is honoring moms and dads who raise their kids in church. I'm proof of what God can do in a life through a mom and daddy that would drag you whether or not you wanted to go or not. I thank God for mamas and daddies like that. But if you're a Christian out there and you cannot stand on what you believe because it's what God has given to you and what God has revealed to you through the Holy Ghost, if you can't stand on your own truth and you're resting and relying on what mom and daddy was and what they did, then friend, I'm here to tell you, you've still got a choice to make. You're leading a blind life, blinded by lies and blinded by traditions. And friend, it's not about tradition. My daddy was a pastor since he was 18 years old. That didn't make me any more a Christian before I was saved than being saved. It didn't make a difference that he was a preacher. My mama's got a voice like a big black woman angel. I'm telling you, my mama can sing. She sung for the Lord since she was a little bitty girl. That didn't make me any more a Christian than had it been me up there. Just cause you go in a garage doesn't make you a car. And just cause you sit in a church, it don't make you a Christian. Why do you believe what you believe? Is it tradition that was handed down to you? Or is it something that God impressed on your heart one day and said, this is the truth? What are you hanging on to? Is it a tradition? Joshua challenges them. Throw that junk away. Get rid of your traditions. Get rid of your hang-ups. And find out why you believe what you do. And choose you this day. Who's it going to be? He had a choice of tradition. Not only that, he had a choice of popularity or conformity. He said in verse 15, he talked about the gods of their fathers. He said, or the gods of the Amorites in whose lands you dwell. What he was dealing with here is there were some people who honestly believed it was evil to serve God because they were surrounded by Amorites who were serving their own gods. And Isaiah challenges them, just because they're doing that and just because you're seeing this and you dwell in the midst of this, you still have to make a choice. Are you going to serve God or are you going to serve these false gods of the Amorites? I read that and I'm reminded in how our world today, it's more easy to believe in a truth that comes by faith, or it's more easy to follow a truth that is popular, a truth that is in, than it is to believe a truth that is set out by faith. It's easier to just say, well, you know, this positive thinking, that's the popular thing right now, so I think I'll buy into that. Or to say, you know, this whole works thing, I'm a good person, and I like the way this work doctrine teaches. Man, I've never cussed, I've never stole, I've never committed adultery, so according to this works doctrine, I'm doing pretty fine. It's a whole lot easier to believe that, to believe somebody that says, if you believe in me, you're going to make it. Not going to explain how, not going to explain why, not going to give you any guarantees. As a matter of fact, I can guarantee you it's not going to be easy. It's a lot easier to believe the most popular thing than it is to be a peculiar person, as the Bible calls us. And I think about Ian Paisley, an old Irish preacher out of Northern Ireland. He was speaking to some young people and he told them, he said, young people, if you take a stand for Jesus, the fires of libel, the fires of opposition, the fires of slander will all burn against you. But I'd rather be in the fires with Jesus than on a throne with a man of sin. And I say to you today, no matter what your tradition is, no matter what your popularity or the conformity is of this day, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. And may that choice be the one of a faithful choice and a final choice. But I want you to notice lastly, not only the choice that is final, the choice that is faithful and the choice that is final, but I want you to notice the choice that is followed. Now Joshua has given them an option. More importantly, God has given them the option. And I do believe to a certain extent that man has the choice. He has the free will. He has the choice to say no. He has the choice to say yes. But all throughout the Word of God and day in and day out in our lives, we are shown by the Holy Spirit and through God working that today's the day to make the choice. And in these chapters, we find that the choice that is made that is faithful and the choice that is made that is final leads to a choice that is followed. And this is the thought that burns in my heart this evening. God's been working on me and in my life as a husband, as a dad, as the leader of my home, as a worker in different areas, that I so often want to be looked at as a spiritual leader. I so often want to be looked at as someone who is respected and revered. But friend, if I haven't made a choice, if I haven't made a choice that is faithful and a choice that is final, where I've drawn the line in the sand and said, this is it, I choose Him, then how can I ever expect to be followed as a leader? How can I ever expect to be followed as an evangelist or as a pastor or wherever God may lead? Notice what Joshua says about this choice that is final. Now's the time. Does their choice of either serving the Amorites or serving God or serving the gods of... does it affect his choice? Notice what he says. He says, and if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, then choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods of your fathers, that your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. In other words, whatever you choose is fine with me, no matter if it's the gods of your fathers or the gods of this land. But you mark me down right now and put me in this crowd. Notice what he says. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Notice, first of all, the origin of his choice. He didn't say, as for my house and me. He didn't say, as for the church and me. He didn't say, as for the denomination and me. Not as far as my Sunday school class or my service and me. The origin of choice was simply me. As for me. He puts himself on the front line of opposition. He puts Himself on the front line of slander and on the front line of them going, but look where your God's led us. Look what He's done. He puts Himself on the front line of being ridiculed, on the front line of being made fun of. He puts Himself on the front line and says, I don't care what you do. I don't care if you're following the world, if you're following your traditions. I don't care what it is, what choice you make. I urge you to do it today. But you mark me down to be in that number that serves the Lord. And He made the choice, and He made it clear that the origin starts with Him. I think about Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Paul didn't need your help taking the hammer and the nails and doing the business. Paul did it himself, and he nailed himself to the cross and said, I am crucified. And Jesus told us, plain and simple, all throughout His teachings, nobody can do it for you. You can't make this choice to follow me, or somebody can't make this choice for you to follow me. Mama can't say, I think he's going to grow up to be this, and I think that I want him to serve the Lord. It starts with somebody who stands up and says, as for me. I don't care what anybody else does, but as for me, I'm going to follow him. I'm going to serve him. Friend, that speaks volumes in my life tonight. It speaks volume in yours, I'm sure. But for us to say, you know what, whether Mama goes with me, whether my wife goes with me, and whether anybody else goes with me, I will follow him. I think it was Jack Hiles who talked about how nobody likes a disciple. Nobody likes a disciple because a disciple, he hates his mom, he hates his daddy, he hates his brothers and sisters, not really hates them, but he is so concerned with Christ that nothing else matters. They're so concerned with the service of Jesus Christ that they could care less about anything else. Not many people like a disciple. But the choice has to be made. And if you want to be that leader, if you want to step up in that position, if you want to be what God has for you, then make the choice for you. But notice how the choices follow. Not only the origin of choice, but lastly, notice the outcome of the choice. He steps up, pulls up his pants and says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He makes a stand first of all to himself. But notice what immediately follows after. My house. As for me, it starts with me, and then those under me, those with me, they will follow because this is a faithful choice. It is a final choice. I give you this and then we're going to close. When God began to deal with my heart shortly, months before that, He had gotten a hold of my wife and I ran from God as long as I could. And one day, June 25th of 2001, I came back to Him and by His grace I was forgiven, I was restored. And I came home that day to my wife and I came home a new husband. And we took the advice of my dad and we knelt down beside our couch and I took a blank piece of paper and we signed both of our names at the bottom and said, God, you fill in the rest. This is our contract with you. Whatever you want, you fill in the top. We're agreeing to it right now. That paper meant nothing. But what happened by that couch that day was simply me and her saying, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It ain't popular. It ain't what we're used to, but we're going to do it. Have we failed since that day? Absolutely. Has it been an everyday thing where we served Him? No, we haven't. No, it's been up and down. We've done it on our own so many times. My friend, I don't know about you, but in these last days, before God returns, before He sends His Son one more time, before that last push for grace, I want to be able to say, I drew my line in the sand, that I said, yes, I'll follow you. As for me, whether my house comes or not, that's fine. But as for me, I will serve you. But you mark it down when you take that stand. Your house, whether it be your church, your home, your family, your friends, you make that stand. And your house will follow. Your friends will follow. Because they will see in you a life that is sincerely, fearfully, and focused on Christ and doing His work. May we make the choice today to say, Lord, though none go with me, still I will follow. Lord Jesus, we give you this time and I give you this message. Bless it according to your will and God, may somebody's life be changed. It's in your name we pray. Next week, Brother Ronnie Brown on Calvary Came Through.
It is our prayer that today's message has been a help and blessing to you. If you would like to receive a free CD copy of today's message, simply write to Brother Tracy at Calvary Came Through, care of Temple Baptist Church, 3204 Clio Avenue, Chattanooga, Tennessee, 37407. This program is also rebroadcast on the Internet at www.calvarycamethrough.info. You can email Brother Tracy at tracy@calvarycamethrough.info. Please join us again next week at this same time as we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and how Calvary can come through for you.